And I wanted to raise my kids, but I also have, I'm a very driven person. I'm very ambitious. And those are gifts that God put in me. And so I need to be able to take those with my own life. And so I know you have women here that are listening, that you have this conflict of like, I have to do it all myself. I have to load the dishwasher this way. The clothes must be folded this way. I have to take out the trash this way. The bed must be made this way. And we have all these things. And then when somebody else does come in and help us, it's almost like we're resentful, but not because of the help, but because that makes us feel something. Like it like messes with our identity.
Welcome to Imperfect Mommying. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Mommying, and we have a very special guest today, Tabitha Thorell. Welcome to Imperfect Mommying.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for having me.
Absolutely. And I was like trying to say your name and then getting tripped up of my tongue. I was like preparing for the of your last name. And anyway.
It's all good. It's all good. We're here, right?
Right. So tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So yeah, I'm a wife. I'm a mom to five beautiful girls. I'm a coach, speaker, author, podcaster, and real estate investor. We live in rural Nebraska. I married my high school sweetheart. And yeah, we're just raising our babies and living life and loving it.
Five girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Were we hoping for a boy?
No, I mean, I get that question a lot, and really yeah. We weren't, you know, we had our first girl, then we had our second girl, and then our third girl, and we weren't sure if we were done or not. It had nothing to do with like, if we wanted another boy. It was literally, did we have the capacity to have another child? And cause we always thought we'd have four. My husband comes from a family. There's six in their family and five in mine. And so we just kind of thought like maybe four. But my third child is very spirited. She is very independent and she will do great things when she is older. But when she's a child, if you have a spirited, strong-willed child, you know, when they're little, it's a hard road, you know, it's very, challenging. And so I just didn't know if I had the capacity to run our businesses because I was predominantly a stay-at-home mom. Like I was raising these babies. My husband is a farmer and we're real estate investors. So like, we've always had like income properties and things like that. And so he was gone a lot and I was predominantly, you know, the caretaker, which I loved, and I love raising my babies, and I didn't want to give that responsibility to anybody else, but I was also helping with the real estate stuff, having my own coaching business. I'm always aspiring to do more and write and speak and do all of these things. And I just didn't know if I had the capacity to do it all. And for 3 years, my older three daughters, every night, and I am not exaggerating because sometimes it's multiple times a day, but like every night when we'd pray at the end of the day, they'd be like, God, just make mommy have another baby. We want another sibling. We want a baby. We want a baby, like constantly. And so it was kind of like, oh my gosh, like, is this like God's way to speak through my kids? And so I just kind of one day, I remember I was on a run in the country road and I said, okay, God, if this is what you want for me, like, I need you because I can't do this on my own. I surrender to you. And like, if there's another, you know, if another baby's in our plan, then you will, you know, I will surrender. I wasn't on birth control or anything like that, but you know, I was just like, I'm just surrendering this to you, this idea. And I just let go of control. And that was like at the beginning of the summer, and we were pregnant by the end of the summer. Mm. So it was just, you know, that, and then we had that baby, and We thought we were going to be done. And when we had her, I just had another like God moment where it was like, she needs a friend because her older sisters, there was a 6.5 year gap. And so it was just like, she needs a friend. She needs that. You know, we're going to be old when she's older, you know, and she wants to have the, you know, my older three are really close. And I just wanted that for Ivy as well. And so I looked at my husband and I said, what if, you know, we had another one? And he's always said, that's up to you because you take, you know, your body takes a toll. You're responsible for this stuff. And if that is what you want to do, then I will, you know, support you. That's how he always responds. And this time he was like, I turned to him and I said, what about, you know, a number five? And he just looked at me and said, what's one more?
Yeah.
And I was like, not expecting that. And so then we, within like 4 or 5 months, then got pregnant again and had number five. So our last two are 14 months apart. And there's, you know, we have every, our, my youngest is almost 2 years old and my oldest is almost 15. So those are the gap.
Yeah. That sounds a lot like my family without all the, discussion part of it. My stepsister was 16, I want to say, when my brother was born. But he was very much a gift from God and not he was a surprise.
We get that a lot. We get a lot of people that say, or they think we're on our second marriage, like the their first three is from a different marriage. And I'm like, no, we waited. And the thing is I didn't ever, during that waiting time, it wasn't like I ever turned it away and was like, no, I'm not. I just didn't feel God calling me to do it. Like there was a lot of things I needed to work through. My mom was really sick. My sister was really sick. I was helping take care of them. My grandma was, you know, older. And so there was a lot of things that I had to be the caretaker for. And so it was just never something that I felt pulled to do, but it also didn't feel like I was, you know, running away from it either. It was just like in that season, in that 6.5 years, like I was raising my older three, building our businesses, helping take care of other family obligations. And then when some of that kind of subsided, it was like, okay, now is the time. Now it's settled. Like I still didn't feel like I was enough, you know. And there might be some of your listeners where your mom, like, we just feel like we're not enough, you know, especially if you are an entrepreneur or do anything else, you feel like pulled in all these, you know, conflicts and this, you know, internal struggle. And it's like, well, you may never in your head be enough. And I'm a strong Christian. And so I almost feel like it's okay that we don't feel like we're enough because that's when you lean on God. That's when you lean on other people. That's when you lean on your support system. You're not supposed to have it all together. You're not supposed to be the solo one that has everything figured out. That's the point of the people we, you know, surrounding us that we love. And so I surrender to that because I'm a very independent person, very strong-willed myself. And so it was like, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And I had to just really say, okay, God, bring the people in my life that can help me. Help, like with my kids and everything, this has to help the family, uplift them and not, you know, cause division. And they're amazing. My older girls are phenomenal. They take such good care of, we call them the tinies. They're our little ones are Ivy and Eula, and they just do an amazing job. I'm very blessed to have children that love kids as much as they do because they truly make it just joyful.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I would imagine with five kids and being an entrepreneur or having family businesses or both, that you've learned a lot of lessons along the way. So is there one lesson that you would want to, that stands out that you would want to share with our listeners?
Well, the first one I kind of alluded to is like, you know, it's okay to that you need help. And it's okay that you bring other people in your life to help you with that. I mean, when they say it takes a village, it really does take a village. And it is okay. It's not, it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you whatever you have in your head. Like, you know, maybe like for me, my mom was ill like pretty much my whole life, but she was a very good caretaker. She took amazing care of us kids. And so, and she was obviously stayed at home. And so I just already had these like beliefs, you know, and I wanted to raise my kids, but I also have, I'm a very driven person. I'm very ambitious. And those are gifts that God put in me. And so I need to be able to take those with my own life. And so I know you have women here that are listening, that you have this conflict of like, I have to do it all myself. I have to load the dishwasher this way. The clothes must be folded this way. I have to take out the trash this way. The bed must be made this way. And we have all these things. And then when somebody else does come in and help us, it's almost like we're resentful, but not because of the help, but because that makes us feel something. Like it like messes with our identity. And I just encourage you to surrender that because the mom identity is different for everybody else. And I truly believe if you come at it with love and kindness, all the other stuff is just distraction. It really is. It's distraction from what really matters. And I even still to this day, my kids will load the dishwasher and I'll open the dishwasher and I almost laugh because 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I would have been angry. Like that was my default. Like I was anger. And now it's almost off. And I kind of fix it, not because it was wrong, but really because we can fit more dishes in there. And I'm about efficiency. But like before, I would have been like, why can't you guys get it right? I've told you how many times. And you know, you'd like berate it. And the thing is my kids didn't load the dishwasher not perfect on purpose. They were in a hurry, whatever. It is a training moment. I can teach them, hey guys, we can get more dishes in here and then we don't have to wash them by hand. You know, I can teach them that way, or I can berate them and be mad at them, you know. And this one over here is love and kindness. And this over here is very selfish ambition. Like I'm annoyed that I have to do it. And I had to really look in the mirror and do a gut check. And then this is the second lesson. Because when you do that, and I think women were very, you know, not pity party, but you know, when we do something wrong, it's like we can really berate ourselves and hate ourselves. Like, I ate that cookie. Dang it. I didn't run that thing. Oh, I didn't follow through on this. And we can really have self-hatred for those things. One thing that I learned to do was forgiveness. It was forgiveness of my kids when they do something wrong and not berate them and literally be like, Tab, they didn't do it maliciously. Even if they did it because they're lazy or disobedient, we're by nature that way. Like we all want to do something. I mean, it's in our biology to be lazy because we want to conserve energy. How is that different from our kids, right? But for some reason, we think that when we teach our kids, they're supposed to do it that way. And so I had to forgive them for, first of all, for maybe not knowing or realizing stuff, and then just forgiving them and just loving them. And then myself and saying, you know, if I lost my temper, if I did berate them, you know, or whatever, if I was not the mom that I wanted to be, I had to say, like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to feel guilty. Cause I almost was prideful about feeling guilty. Like, if I felt guilty enough, then it would make up for the bad behavior. Like, the guilt was gonna cover up the disobedience, the bad behavior. And that's not truth. That is darkness. And the forgiveness, because I felt like if I forgave myself, I let myself off the hook and I was wrong and I should be punished. It's that punished mentality, you know? And again, like that's Satan. That's the enemy. He wants me to feel shame. He wants me to feel guilt about that. And he wants me to put that on my kids. And this is a lesson actually just real recent after my last two babies that I have really come into, and it's brought me a lot of joy because I was just always so hard on myself. I mean, I was my worst critic. I would berate myself, I would be judgmental on myself, I would, why did you do this? You know, and so then guess what? That came out in my parenting because I felt this guilt about not being the perfect mom or the best version of myself. I know better, right? That I know better. And it was poisoning relationships that I didn't even realize. And when I was like, I have to first start with me, I have to forgive me. And it's I think that's the hardest for people because you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you have to first accept what you did wrong and not make excuses for it and just say, I did that. And it was pretty. Like it was ugly. And I got to get to the root of that. Like if it was anger or overeating or overexercise or whatever. Like I got to get to why I did that, but first I need to forgive myself for it so then I can go back and I can heal it. Because if I don't forgive myself, the healing, it you can't go deep enough because you're always in the guilt state. You're always in the, but it doesn't matter because I should know better. It's like, no, you need to go to that root source, which is a lot of us. It's like when you were a child and you didn't know how to cope with the emotion of whatever was happening, and you have to go to that place and you have to forgive that child. And figure it out, whatever that is for you, we all have it because we're imperfect. And I still work on this. I don't struggle with it anymore. Like I would say before, like it's not like a challenge for me to forgive myself, but it's definitely a discipline because I naturally will go to guilt. Like I will naturally go to defense. It's how it, you know, rewiring brain, like neural pathways is really hard, but I do, it's like, but I know instantly when I feel that guilt, I go, okay, where do you need to forgive and move on? Where is that? And I'll do it. And then sometimes it doesn't feel like I went there and I just have to kind of keep going, like shift, like, nope. It's like, if you've ever driven a stick shift, it's like, you gotta shift it over it and like get it to go over here. And then you feel joy. It's like a release.
You're in my territory, the mom guilt. Like
Yes.
that's definitely my I'll call, even call it my area of expertise. Like that, you know, I was driving my husband's car once, and it was the first time I'd ever driven a car that had the sensory, the
Oh, yeah.
beep, 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 right? Like it knows when you're about to hit something and it warns you with the beeping. And somebody turned left in front of the car, and it started beeping at me, and I yelled it back at it, and I said, "It's not my fault. They pulled in front of me, right?"
Like
And he was
defending.
like, "He's like, honey, it's not an accusation. It's just a notification." And I was like, "Oh, that's what guilt is. That we all in all the areas that we, all of our hats, all of our roles that we wear, right? So we're women, we're moms, we're wives, we're whatever, like whatever it is, teachers, like all we each of those roles has rules of what a good person in that role does and what they don't do. So when we do or don't do the opposite, right? So when we make a mistake, we have like that we have two choices. We can change what we did, or if it's in the past, we can't, or change it in the future, right? And sometimes that for we forgive ourselves, but there's some things that we can't change. So we have to change the rule. We have to change how we're holding on to that action. And that's what you were kind of demonstrating or explaining. And you know, the other day I have a friend and her kids are staying with me for a couple of months, and her daughter's been unloading the dishwasher. And the other day it was her daughter and her son unloaded the dishwasher. And I'm usually the one that does it. So I'm noticing in myself where I have like control, where I like these are areas where I like it's like I'm noticing I didn't notice this before because I was the one doing it, right? So I didn't notice that, like, oh, I don't like it when people do this. And even yesterday I was like, what, where are all the steak knives? They're missing, like they're not in their thing because they didn't know where the steak knives went. And so we were missing I made smoothies for everybody, and we were missing the lid to the blender. And I was like, so where's the lid to the blender? And neither kid was like, well, he put it away. No, she put it away. I'm like, okay, well, somebody put it away, and it's not like, where did it go? And I was like, well, Worst case scenario, I have to buy another blender, you know, and not a big deal, right? It's kind of old. I could use a new one. It's not the end of the world, right? Where a lot of like a version of me would have been like, WTF, guys, like, where's the lid to the blender? And those kind of reactions have really lasting damage to a kid's emotional state. It just does. Like, how we talk to our children becomes their inner voice.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
100%.
and that is not a statement to make people feel guilty. That's a statement that we need to do a check. How are we talking to our kids? And we're human. When we make mistakes, we can go back and say, hey, I'm really sorry that I lost my temper. This is what was going on inside of me. And this is how it came out. And I'm sorry. And I will try to do better in the future. And when you do that, they start doing it back to you. It's crazy.
Well, and that was another thing I was gonna say is when I'm wrong, I go to them and I'm like, I'm sorry. And I don't ever say, Mommy, sorry she lost her temper, but you did not pick up your toy. Like, I don't ever put it on them. Now we address what the issue was usually later about, because usually it was something that happened where they were responsible, because in our household we take ownership of stuff. But I said, your doing that didn't make me respond that way. It was something going on here. Do you forgive me? And I ask them for forgiveness. And I tell them, if you're not ready to forgive me, it's okay. Like, you might have to sit here, but we talk about to why they should forgive, not just to say it because mommy said it, but what it does to their heart. And like, for us, again, it's a biblical principle, but even beyond that, just letting that go and not like letting that sit inside of you. And so we talk about like what forgiveness is, like even with friendships or what, whoever in life, but like with us, and explaining that, because I feel like, and I have a 1 and 2 year old, or they're about 2 and 3, and we, that one hits the other one and we're like, say sorry, give a hug, like instinctual. So like it becomes just instinct. But when they get older, you need to explain to them like why. Like, why? It's not that you're letting that other person off the hook, because that's what a lot of people, that's why people struggle with forgiveness, is they think if I forgive that person, that means that they're off the hook and they did something really bad and they shouldn't be off the hook. And it has nothing to do with the other person. It really doesn't. And me even asking them for forgiveness, whether they give it to me or not, has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with me taking ownership of my behavior for that moment and saying and asking myself, why did I respond that way or react? Like, why didn't I, talk in my calm voice? And like, for me as a, and as a woman, is it hormonal? Is it circumstantial? Is it food? Is it environment? Is it all like some of these
What's
things
the
that we really
trigger?
have? Yeah, like what's happening? Is it a deep root or is it literally just a trigger? Like, was I really hangry? Because sometimes we can be like, oh, this whole wound and I got to dig. And sometimes it's just, a little hormonal imbalance. And like, we just have to recognize that I'm a big self-awareness person. Like, you need to know who you are. You need to know. I just did a food sensitivity test because I'm healthy, but there's always another level. There's just some things that were off. And I was like, you know what? I want to know this. I've done food sensitivity tests before. I've done allergy testing before, and I've done hormone testing before. But I've had 2 more babies and I've had different environmental stuff. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I just got the test results back and I'm looking at stuff and I'm like, oh, no wonder I kind of feel tired and lethargic and like stuff. And it's because I'm becoming aware of what's triggering in my body environmentally. Same goes for emotion. Like, what is happening in your life? Is it a circumstance that's happening right now? Or is it something that keeps coming up in your life? And it comes out in parenting, because what we are inside is reflected outward. Like, that is just, we are what we eat. We are what we are inside. Like, we are our emotions. Like, but we also get to look at that and say, How can I change that? And like I said before, it takes time. Your neural pathways, like you have to go and reroute some of this stuff. But eventually it doesn't become a struggle. Like I said, I like laugh at stuff now that I'm like, oh, before I would have just like snapped, but I still have to like be conscious of it. It's not a habit yet. Now, some of it will become, and some of it may never be, but I'm like, that's okay because, you know, it's not supposed to be just be like this simple thing. And there's a reason when you said the whole the car pulling out in front of you or whatever, or no, the blender, when you were talking about the blender. So you can look at that, like you said, and like be mad, like I lost this, or you can say, you know what? God wanted me to get a new blender. I needed a new blender, you know? And I try to look at stuff like that. Even if my kids spill something, I'm like, oh, I guess the floor needed cleaning. Or, you know, or like we had a fender bender or something, you know, I'm like, oh, I guess we needed a new bumper. Because what's the alternative? I look at it like everything's against me. Well, that what kind of, you know, people in your life, you have people in your life that literally are like the Scrooges of the life. It's like you literally get to choose the perception and say, is this happening for me? Even the bad to teach me something, to grow me, so I that later on, you know, something bigger and worse doesn't happen. And that's just a belief that I really anchor, because then I get to live a more joyful, blessed life, and I don't have to hang on to all the negativity stuff.
Yeah, and isn't that what we want, is just a more joyful life, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a song that's called Pronoia, and it's the opposite of paranoia. And
Okay.
paranoia means everything is out to get me, right? Everything is out to hurt me.
Yep.
And pronoia is everything is there to serve me. Isn't that
Yes.
interesting?
Yes.
Like
And
it
I love
was,
that.
yeah.
I mean, it's, and all it is just a shift of perception. That's literally all. I mean, you know, we all joke about like, is the glass half empty or half full? But it truly, like, when you look at stuff, if you can look at stuff, even, okay, like, even really bad stuff, like my sister passed away and my mom passed away. My mom, it's been 8 years. My sister, it's been 5. And even in that, I had to look at it that way. Like they were both in a lot of pain. My sister was an addict. My mom had an autoimmune disease. So I had the choice. Now, not all death is this way. Some of it is like, you know, young children or like a car accident, and it's harder to find that. And that's your belief in a different topic. But like I had to look at it for me and my experience. I had to look at this as like, okay, so they're in heaven where there is no pain. Like they lived a long life here of pain. And, you know, and shifting that where they were here for the right amount of time that they were meant to be here. And it's really hard when you're talking about like death and things, especially of a child. And I've never lost a child, so I will not sit on any sort of high horse of this. But I do know that when you can shift a perspective of they were a gift for the time that they were here, and that's so precious, and it hurts. There's a Winnie the Pooh saying, and it said, it's something like, I loved you so much because I know it hurts so bad when you're gone, or something like that. It was a funeral I went to that said that. And it's true. It's like, it hurts because you don't think that they should be gone. Like you wanted to control when they left, and you loved them so much, which is a great thing. But now they're gone and it hurts really, really bad. And that's the part that sucks so bad. And even with my sister and my mom, there are moments when I'm just mad and I'm like, why couldn't they be healthy? You know, and I go down that rabbit trail. But where's that gonna lead me?
Right.
It
And
really is not gonna lead.
they're not, on the other side feeling like, I'm so glad that she's hurting because I'm gone.
No. Yeah,
They
right.
like it, they're in a, like they stay with us, they still love us, and they all they're experiencing now is love.
Right.
Versus here, they were experiencing a lot of pain. And so
Right.
that is something that's really comforting, and I'm with you. I haven't lost any children, and I do feel like there is a lesson inside of everything that that happens, And if we can find the lesson, then we can heal from the pain.
And a lot of it is like your belief. And like for me, I don't know, like for non-believers, it would be hard because I just literally put my stance in Jesus Christ. Like I'm like, this is it. And I heard a story of a man and he was in a minivan and his family was in there and it was a car wreck, I think a semi or whatever. And the guy was standing there and his kids were like splattered all over the asphalt. And he was calling out to God and was just like, take care. Like it wasn't like, oh, thank you for taking them, but he was like, take good care of them in his sobbing. Like he knew in his grief, they were in a better place. Now, does that mean that he just like tomorrow was like, oh yeah, they're in a better place. It's great. No. And grief is tricky and weird and awkward and painful. And you don't know when it's going to come up. The only thing that you get to decide is what it means for your life. What does this mean to you? And to go there. And it sucks because it hurts and we don't want to hurt. We want to numb the pain. We don't want to feel the pain and we don't want to deal with the pain. And maybe we have guilt, maybe we have whatever, and we don't want to go there. But we get to choose that. And a lot of people play victim to things that they get to choose. Now, you didn't get to choose if you lost that person, but you get to choose what it means to you and what their life meant to you. Because are you honoring them by just becoming an alcoholic or a shut-in or mean to everybody? Is that what their life meant to you? Or can you bless it? I just shared my sister's story on another podcast, and my sister-in-law asked me, was it really hard for you to talk about it? And I said, it would be, but I have done a lot of self-healing in it. So I'm able to talk about it freely. Sometimes I get emotional. Most of the times I don't, because I've done the work. I've done the tears, lots of them, you know, to be able to share her story so that other people have hope and can get better and not become addicts, or people who have family members that are addicts, maybe it gives them comfort. It's meant to be shared to help other people, give them hope, give them healing, give them comfort. Whatever. And so, as painful as it was with my sister, that can give light to somebody else. And that isn't what I have to get over myself. I had to get over myself and able to do those things. And even as parents, as moms, sometimes we have to get over ourselves and our own inadequacies because we're putting them on our kids. And I have five girls. So, I had to get real quick about my inadequacies, about not being pretty enough, skinny enough. Whatever, because I had five, you know, I had 10 eyeballs looking at me and saying, like, gonna follow in my footsteps. And God showed me really early on, if you don't change this, they're gonna be exactly like you, struggling, body image issues, you know, whatever, addictions like your sister, like all of it. And I was like, okay, I'll do the hard work because I don't want to do that to them.
No
You know?
pressure.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
So, literally everything that you've said has been nuggets of wisdom and just gold. But is there a piece of advice in addition to anything that you've said, or just that something you want to reiterate that you want to share with the moms listening?
You're just not alone. I mean, I know a lot of people that sounds kind of cliche and like what you're going through, and like the guilt, we all have those. We all have the moments, and it's really easy to compare ourselves to other people, especially with, you know, TV, with reality TV and social media and even these podcasts. Maybe you're listening to me and like, oh, I could never be a mom to five girls. You're not meant to be. And that's okay. And it's okay to not feel enough. I know that's a thing that's, you know, the tagline, like, it's like, you are enough, you are enough. And you are and you aren't. And neither one is right or wrong. And I say that because there are times in your life where you're not going to feel enough. You're not going to feel that way. Do it anyway, because it's a feeling. Feeling is fleeting. Whatever gifts you were given by God when you were born are meant to be shared. Now, does that mean that you need to be an entrepreneur or speaker, whatever? No. It's whatever your gifting is and whatever that means for you as a mom to go alongside of it. And don't, you know, when people say, oh, you're just a mom, like remove that identity and just think, I'm a mom and I love it. I love every aspect of it. If you love every aspect of being a mom, then own it. And for me, what it meant was I wanted to pursue my dreams. I hate housekeeping. Like I hate it, but I like a tidy house. So guess what? I had to hire a housekeeper and that was hard. That was one of the hardest things I ever had to do because my mom kept an immaculate house and I felt like I was failing. And so if you're listening, there's some things that you might have to do. You might have to hire a nanny so that you can pursue some dreams a little bit. Now you have to find the balance of that, but you have to be okay with your identity and what your path is. And don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. Now we have to keep ourselves in check of like why we're doing this. Is it just selfish ambition or is this a bigger picture? I mean, I've had that conversation and that conflict internally. And so your audience, I'm sure, has some sort of conflict, but you get to decide it. Don't let other people come in and tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. If you love your kids, love your kids. And if you have dreams that you want to chase, chase those dreams. But figure out how you can do it together. Figure out how you can incorporate them. And that's what me and my husband have really done. Because we've been together. We met when I was 15. So we've been together for 23 years. We've been married 16. And we've been in real estate for almost 2 decades. So we were in real estate together before we were married. And so there's a lot of facets to that. And like trying to earn a living. And you know, you're living just to make a living. And you're like, what's going on here? And what I want to see with people is like, if you have dreams, if you have, you know, we all need to put food on the table. We all want to take our kids on vacation and give them a better life. There are ways you can do that together and you can bring your kids in and have family, what the term family means, and leave a legacy that you're so proud of. And you don't look back and think like, I wish I could have, woulda, shoulda. Like, I wish I was a little bit braver. I wish I was a little bit bolder on what I wanted. I wish I wanted to thought so much about what people thought of me. When you listen to people who are like 80 plus and they interview them, that is one of the top answers that they say. I wish I wouldn't have cared so much about what other people thought of me.
Mm. Yeah.
So why aren't we taking the wisdom from a majority of people who've lived a lot longer life than you and say, I'm no longer going to care what she thinks of me. Now, this isn't just social media and like the people you don't know. This is even your mother-in-law or your own mom. Like you have to separate yourself at some point and say, I love you and I respect your opinion, but your opinion of me is none of my business. And I get to live my life and I'm proud of it. And I love my kids. And I come from a place of, you know, wanting a better life for them and whatever, like, as long as the fruits of it are good and not just like this greed, selfish, you know, desire to be famous because you want, you know, recognition, but it's like, truly you want a better life for your kids and impact on other people and whatever that looks like. It doesn't matter what other people, they're all going to have their own opinions because they all have their own baggage and they have their own things that they need to sort through. And it's just easier to look at you and judge you because they don't want to look at their own life.
And the reality is that their judgment doesn't hurt unless you're judging yourself harshly too.
Yeah, something you're a little like insecure about. I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, the only time that a comment hurts is when you almost believe it. Because
100% believe it.
Right. But even
any level,
any level. But even it's like a little bit, like if somebody came here and said, like, you know, told me, you know, Tab, you're so high maintenance and I can't believe like you're just so high maintenance, I would laugh. Like that comment wouldn't even like, it would roll off because I'm not. Like I'm from rural Nebraska. I can roll with it. Like it's cool. Like I love to do hair and makeup, but I can take it or leave it. Like it's not, you know. But if somebody came here and said, you know, you're being selfish by doing, you know, having a nanny take care of your kids 20 hours a week, I would get a little uncomfortable because I've had to form into that identity. It doesn't hurt as much as it used to, but it was hard for me because I felt like I should be this person, you know? And so now it's like, okay, where am I putting my identity in it? What is the truth? that's a lie. And I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, is this comment true or not? Like,
Yeah.
is it? No. My daughters are like stick thin. They have their dad's metabolism. It's amazing. I'm like, if anybody tells you you're fat, like, let it roll off your back, because that's the biggest freaking lie, because literally you have like 5% body fat. And I'm like, so it's just a lie. And so I tell them that, because I'm like, people are going to tell you things and you're going to start to believe them because they're her whatever. And I said, that's a lie. That isn't true. And just, ingraining in them at a young age. And but as women, sometimes we didn't have that. And so we're ingrained with some things that we need to just be like, no, that's a lie. That is just a lie. And if it's a truth, look at it like truth with no opinion, no offense, and change it if you can, and move on.
So good. Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so I'm at Tab Thorell on Instagram. You can also, and I don't know if you're gonna put links up here. So me and my husband have a new program called the Legacy Well Project, which is just helping families stay connected, help with their legacy wealth by getting them to buy their first income property, but doing it as a family so you can make it fun, teaching your kids about what it truly means to build wealth, so that you don't live in the scarcity mindset, you live in abundance and blessings and things like that. And that's keeplegacywealth.com. And then I have a generic website, tabtherall.com. So any of those. And then I run a podcast called What Went Wrong. So check that out. It's a fun, I interview people on the untold stories of bouncing back from failure. So some incredible stories. If you need some inspiration of hope, listen to those stories.
Yeah, I love that. Well, like I said earlier, you are a wealth of knowledge. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you for everything that you're doing in the world and the legacy of change that you're creating inside your own family, and as well as spreading it to others, I think is amazing.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor. It was so fun.
Absolutely. So there will be another episode of Imperfect Momming for you all. Excuse me, coming next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.